7 or 8. Amen. 7 or 8. Yeah, that went up really fast. We're rounded off to 25. Have you enjoyed your meals and accommodations? I think the church here deserves a hand. They've done an outstanding job. Amen. We need to help them a little bit more. We're short on the offering. So everyone, please do the best that you can. Wichita will give $500 more. Is there another church that could help out with $500 real quick in the ministry? All right. Thank you, Brother Jackson. Anyone else? 500 personal? Garrett? All right. Can anybody else give us $500? How about 250? Ministry, anybody help us out with that much? All right. Brother Doyle, thank you for that. Who can give us a $250 offering? Anyone? Anyone? All right. We'll pass the plates then. We need to... That's about another $2,000. We need about another $5,000 or $6,000, okay? So let's all just stop what we're doing right now and let's all bow our heads right now and ask the Lord what He'd have us to give. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this youth meeting. We thank You for all the sacrifice, all the people that have taken off their jobs to serve. Everyone attending this meeting, bless them, we pray. We ask You now, Lord, through Your Spirit, to speak to our heart what we should give in this meeting right now, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Speak to our hearts, Lord. In Your name we pray. Lord, and we just pray that You'll undertake and answer this need here for this church. Amen. All right. If the ushers would please come up, pass the plate. Everyone do the best you can. I appreciate your help. Slow it down, man, so they can get in their pockets. We're ready. First Gospel Church. Make your checks to First Gospel Church. All right. Thank you.
like to go ahead and have some songs. And the atmosphere is so electrifying in here that I feel like y'all are sitting on ready. And I know I'm an old fuddy-duddy, but I love the youth in the body of Christ. And I want to say some things to you and not take up too much time, if the Lord will help me. Will y'all let me do that? Here's a little deal that I've lost lots of. It hangs on your button and holds your tie straight. Silver colored. If someone's lost, everybody check. Men only. I don't think a girl has that. This here, I think that would be a girl's. And I'm not exactly sure what it does, but it looks like a belt, and I think that's what it does. Anyway, here's a little belt up here. It's not big enough to use for anything but to hold you. I think that's all we've got. Oh, here's a camera. Maybe, I don't know what is. Is it a camera? Yeah. Somebody left their camera up here. So, it's up here if you need it. I'm Brother Smith, if you don't know who I am. And I want to thank you all for coming to this meeting. I've had an unusual feeling for the youth in our church here, and it's a feeling that I know it's not just for them. I really feel like that the hope of the youth in this world is dependent on you people. Right here in the body of Christ, I feel like God is wanting to use the young people more than He's ever used them before. I'm not just saying that. I feel that in the Spirit of God. I've been feeling it for quite some time. I've said it over and over here at home that God wants to use you. You'll have to make yourself available for that, and you'll have to study on how to let God use you. One of the things that I would like to say to you is that where your focus needs to be, and that is, quit focusing on the things that you know, that you feel like you're supposed to do or that you're not supposed to do, and the do's and don'ts. I know, as y'all may not believe this, but I can remember being a young person, and I know it's difficult to embrace God's calling and figure it out, how it is really supposed to work in your life. And, you know, I know how it is to go to church, and you know, at church, things are different. Feels right. And you have such a desire, but then you get away from church, and reality of everyday life sets in, and it's hard to harmonize what God's trying to do in your life and what takes place at church. And that's why we have church, by the way, is God. This is our training ground. This is where God meets with us. We didn't choose that. He did. He started out getting His people gathered together and meeting with them, whether it was around the tabernacle and letting them feel in His presence and watch the operation, or whether it's just right here, They had churches many, many years ago. They had services. God's always done it this way. It's His way. That's why you want to make yourself a part of it. Be a part of it. And then if you're going to be here, get in it. Don't hang around the outer edges. There's always those that are looking, you know. You've heard the old saying that you can be a part of what's happening. You can watch what's happening. And if you're not careful, you'll just wind up wondering what happened. But God has a calling for every one of you. Every one of you are members in particular in the body of Christ, and you have a calling, and you've got an effective working of, there's an effective working of every part, and that needs to be fulfilled in your life. You need to find that. It's something you'll have to search for. You'll have to work on it. Instead of focusing on what we're not supposed to do as Christians, let me just tell you, that is a big mistake to focus on that. What you're not supposed to do is just things that are wrong, and that's not what you're to focus on. But what you're to focus on is your life in Christ. If you've been born to the Holy Ghost, you've got a new nature dwelling in you. It's the nature of God. God imparts. You're born again of His Spirit. That's an indwelling that God puts there. It's necessary for you to go on with God, for you to find the fullness of God. And it's like Brother Gene Sugg in Fort Worth, Texas, sung a song many years ago. He said, "There seemed like there's two people down inside of me. One is crying out to God, and the other one wants to be free." And it's true. When you're born of God, that old Adamic nature's still there. And that's what the overcoming process is all about. Getting out of Adam into Christ. And there's this new man. Paul calls it a new man, an inner man. And if you can work on, focus on getting in this inner man, working in him, functioning in him, what can I do? That's what you need to focus on. Not what can I not do, but what's available in God, in the inner man. It's in this Holy Ghost nature. And it's not all just, you know, mysticism. It's not all just an experience that you get. But it's a life in this inner man that you're learning. You and I are learning how to be transformed. That what our problem is our minds and our spirits don't. The world, it has such a great influence on you young people. And I'm just going to tell you something. You need more of God than I needed when I was your age. Because the world's far more difficult to live in than it was when I was your age. It's a difficult world. But let me tell you something. Where sin abounds, the grace of God doth much more abound. There's enough of the grace of God. There's enough of God's power to lift you up above this difficult world. I'm telling you, young people, God's calling you today to step up. Let Him use you. You'll have to focus on it. Get your mind off of your own natural self. Let me give you, I'm going to give you five things today that I hope will help you in some way. The first one is to make him Lord of your life. And the way to make him Lord, let me tell you, there's no greater struggle than trying to serve God when he's not your main focus. When he's not number one in your life, there's nothing more than difficult to try to live for God. There's nothing more stressful than to try to live for God part-time or having him on the second burner. There was an offering in the Old Testament that was a sacrificial offering called a peace offering. And God required it in the third chapter of Leviticus. And I hope I don't spend a lot of time. But you can't live on just water, spirit. You got to have some of the Word of God to mix in there with it. So I hope that every one of you leave here changed. Not because it's here. It don't matter where we're at. If God don't talk to us, if God's not the one doing the work, then we're laboring in vain. But if I feel like God, there's something God's wanting to say to the young people in the body of Christ. There's a turn God's wanting you to make. He doesn't want the young people in this body to continue on in the same vein, but he wants you to make a turn. You can make a difference. You can make a difference in the church you're in. You can make a difference in your family. You can make a difference in your friends. Amen. You can make a difference wherever you go. God can make a difference in your life that will affect everybody that you get around. And that's what he's calling you for. You're the church of tomorrow. You're the body of Christ that's a restored divine order of God. The responsibility is falling on your shoulders. And you don't have time to grow up and get old to face the responsibility. God's calling you today. He wants you now to make a decision. Get committed. The peace offering that the Lord required in Leviticus, the third chapter, starting in the sixth verse, said, "And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him." I'm sorry. I told you the third chapter, and I went to the sixth. I kept reading. I kept saying, this don't sound right. What I'm wanting to get to, it's in the sixth verse of chapter 3. By the way, let me just say this in case I might have got us in trouble last night. Y'all enjoy that little skit that they put on last night? I said that Sister Jennifer wrote that. She didn't write that. That's a copyrighted skit, and so I've got to correct that so that we get the lawyers off our backs. But she did write a skit called the Fruits of the Spirit that was really good, too, in our dinner theater. Oh, it was good. You should have been here. In the third chapter of Leviticus, in the sixth verse, said, "And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord, if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord, be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he'll lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons will sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he'll offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof and the whole rump. It shall take off hard by the backbone. And the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that it's on the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that's upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall be taken away. It shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be of a goat, and he goes on. My point is to make peace with God. This is good for making peace with man too, but to make peace with God. This peace offering, it represents something. Notice all of the fat had to be removed from all of the inward parts, and the rump that supported the backbone. We call it the will, my will and your will. And the fat represents flesh. And everything that sustains the natural fleshly man had to be done away with if you want to be at peace with God. That's what it takes to get the Holy Ghost, is yielding everything over to God. It takes a complete yielding of your will and saying, God, you are the Lord of my life, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And it takes sometimes a pressing to get to a place that you can yield over your will to God. I'll tell you, there's no better feeling than to come up from yielding your life over to God so completely that you feel so clean, so washed, and so healed of your spirit. I've seen people just wrestle in life with every situation that they're in, and they focus on the situation and the problems, and their spirit gets so involved with it that they are miserable. But when you fall on your face before God and yield it all over to Him, and He becomes the Lord of your life, all of that strife goes away. Everything, your mind gets clear. And now you see everything through the eyes of faith. And hope rises up in your life. The Holy Ghost is so full of life. And it has so much purpose and meaning. And now everything's back. I'm at peace with myself, and I'm at peace with God. And it's not something you get just in one trip. I wish I could tell you, you could come down here today, and when you leave here, if you can do what I'm telling you to do, you leave here, you're a bride member. You can't get rid of the old man that easy. God's too great. The life God wants to give you in the Holy Ghost in this inner man is far too involved. It's far too great. It's too immense for you to be able to obtain it in just that simple of a one-trip procedure. But it takes a recurring, reworking on it. It's keeping yourself before God. That's why it's important. Let me tell you, young people, something. When you go home, stop sitting in your pews when you feel like the Spirit of God wants to move. Quit waiting on the congregation of the elders to carry the service. I'm telling you, move out. When God deals with you, forget about what it looks like, what people will think. We are going to have to become a people that learn to obey God and let His Spirit do whatsoever He wants to do. And so what if you miss it and the flesh burns? So what? I'll tell you what. You won't miss it near as much as you're sitting there thinking you will. You know, if you're, you know, when you go to church and you're sitting there and all of a sudden something tells you, get up. Get up and take off running. Get up and scream. Holler. Get up and dance. How often does that happen to you? I mean, what is this that's come on me today? There must be a devil that's talking to me. Something is speaking to me, and I'm trying to get rid of it. This can't be right. You dummy. That's God talking. That's how God works. He wants to use you. And He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to be a yielded vessel. And if you don't let Him use you, and I'll promise you, some of you are going to go home, and just shortly in the next few days, God's going to ask you to do some of those things. And if you don't obey Him, you're going to go home sick in your spirit, knowing that I miss God. But this is your training ground, because God's going to deal with you when you get out there, on the job, at school, among your friends. The Holy Ghost is going to settle on you at times, and God's going to ask you to let Him use you. God's calling young people today in the body of Christ to step up. Quit trying to figure out what all you can do, you know, before you settle down. Just go ahead and settle down in Him. I'm telling you, there is so much to do in God. There is so much fun in your walk with Jesus, that if you focus on that, you won't have any trouble with the flesh. Your problem will be seeing, why can't everybody see this? And you'll begin to realize, God's done something in my life, and He don't want me to wait to let it work. Number two, get your ears on. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. What's He saying to you? Learn how to listen to God. See, that's one of the things I just mentioned. When God starts talking to you, the Spirit of God is urging you to obey Him and do something. Learn how to respond to that. Learn how to let that work in your life. That's being led by the Spirit. That's God's direction. That's walking in His will. That's letting Him have His way. That's walking in this peace that passes the understanding of mankind. I don't have any backbone with man because I've moved over into a new man and I don't function. That's what I'm telling you to do. We don't function like the world functions. We don't think like they think. You'll have to apply yourself. It doesn't come automatic. There's a transformation, that be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes understanding the Word of God. Let me challenge you. Go home and get back to reading your Bible. Read a little bit of it every day. If you don't understand it, and even if you ain't even listening, you know, to what you're reading. Did you ever do that? Did you ever read something and you got through reading chapter 14 and you thought, I don't even know what I just read. My mind was in 14 different directions. But if you'll discipline yourself enough to focus on obtaining the things of God, in a little while you'll get your mind girded up in the things of God, and you'll begin to hear what you're reading. You'll begin to listen. You'll begin to get interested in it. If you pray and ask God, say, God, help me get this. Help me have a love for the Word of God. I'm in this. You're calling me. I want to understand this. And this thing that's working in my mind that's hindering me, I need your help to get rid of it. He'll help you. You'll be surprised. God will help you. This is not just for preachers. It's not just for adults. It's for young people. He was 12 years old. You say, well, that was Jesus. Well, hey, he came here to give us what he had. And there's a time factor involved, but I'm telling you, it's time. It's time. That's why God's dealing with preachers and dealing with our hearts and our lives. Can't y'all feel God's fixing to do something different? There's something on the horizon. God is talking to his people. He's making a change. He wants you to get this. He wants you individually, as a member in particular of the body of Christ, to be effective in your working part. You have a part. You've got talents. You've got gifts. Develop them. God will help you with that. There's work to be done. It's not just the things you just see, but there's thousands of things. There's things we haven't even tapped into yet that God wants us to tap into. He wants to use. There's no limit. There's no limit to how God can use you. In the 85th chapter of Psalms, let me just read that to you. I'm still working on you getting your ears on. We used to. Y'all may not remember this, but back, you know, in my days, we had CB radios. Now you got texting. You know, you don't have to, before you can get on a CB, you can text somebody now. But used to, we didn't know if who was listening, so we'd, you know, let's see. One time I had a handle. Like a handle was a nickname for who you was, so you know you didn't want to tell people out all over the world, you know, this is, hey, this is Mick Smith on the CB, anybody listening? So I had a handle, like I called myself Coon Dog. I'd say, hey, this is a Coon Dog speaking, you got your ears on out there? Somebody generally in a little while would say, hello, Coon Dog, how you doing? They'd have a handle they'd come back with, you know. But they'd always say, you got your ears on? I want to know if you're listening. Have you got your ears on? Are you listening for God to talk to you? You know, I recently asked God a question. You know, I really wasn't expecting him to answer me. You know, I just said, God, how in the world are we ever going to do this? Just like that, the Lord gave me, and he just spoke to me. I said, well, that's pretty good. I'm going to study on that. It wasn't something, you know, I didn't just have it 100%, but it was something that I thought I can study on. I can work on that. I can search that out. That's how God is. He is so infinite. He is so great. And he is so full of so much magnificence, incredible things that you just, he's too great to just simplify. There's simple parts of God, but it, you just got to keep going, and it's infinite. All God can make available to us. Get your ears on. The psalmist here said in the 8th verse, I'll hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. You want the glory of God? Pick up the fear, your fear of God. Don't play with God. Don't go back to folly after you make this peace. After he gets on the front burner, after he is the precedence, after your focus is set on him and his peace has come to your life. In St. John, the 14th chapter, I think the 27th church verse, Jesus, that entire chapter is talking about Jesus sending the Comforter of the Holy Ghost, that we could be born of the same Spirit that he's born of. And here's what he said. He said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. There's nothing, saints, there's nothing greater than having the peace of God. And having the direction of God, the clarity of God's purpose in our lives, and the hope and faith that comes with this operation of yielding over to him and making this peace offering to him. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Wouldn't you like to get to a place where you've got enough of the truth of God working in your life where you don't have to keep asking God for so much mercy? But finally, you're so full of mercy that you're extending it wherever you go. Mercy's flowing out of you. They feel the love of God and God's mercy in your life working in such a way that because there's so much truth, God's done so much for you. He's elevated you so that you've got something to give to the world. And I'm telling you something. We're living in a sick, dying world that needs the people of God. They need saviors to rise up on the Mount Zion. This world, the young people in this world and old alike are sick. They're sick of the condition that it's got itself in. It's because of the lack of God. And God is calling people today, and he's telling you, I'm sending you forth into a land of darkness to shine my light, to let my light shine, to save, to help me harvest and find and gather and save and heal. Oh God, will you go? Would you make yourself available to him? You know, we start out in this, it's all about me. When I first heard about this, I said, I want this. I'm getting in this. I want it. I've got to have it. But the more I serve Him, and the more I learn of Him, and the more Him I get, the more I get concerned about others. And the less this is about me, and it's more about you. It's more about others. It's more about the needs that I run across every day. The broken hearts. The difficult situations. Those that just need the peace of God. And they need to touch somebody that has it. He can use you in that way. He's longing to use you in that way. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I want to tell you, God will make you righteous. And the more righteous you get, the more peace. That you just become one with peace. Righteousness is so equated to peace, so equal to peace, that it just flows. It's just a bright light. You can't put it under a bushel. You can for a while, but if you'll get the bushel off, if you'll get this uncovered, and that's another thing, saints. You young people, quit being ashamed of the God that's in your life. Amen. Quit being afraid to let people see it. Let it work. They know you're different anyway. They know you're a goofy Christian. They don't like you anyhow. So just go ahead and love them anyway. And let your light shine. Walk in this light. Don't cover it up. That's number three. Learn how to know His will and walk in His way. If we have fellowship, if we walk in His will. How did John say that in 1 John 1:7? I want to just turn there. Is it 1 John? Yeah, 1:7 said, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you'll stay in this fellowship through the peace offering that you make with Him, He'll give you light. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more. The more you walk in it, the more you get of it. And the clearer the way becomes. And fellowship with Him. Don't you love it? Is there anything feels any better than the Spirit of God? I already gave you number four. Let it shine. Walk in the light and then let it shine. Don't hide it, but study how to locate. Now here, when you get to a place that finally this is working in your life, God wants, He's ready to use you even in a greater way. And even though your light's shining, not everyone, the world, you remember, He was the light of the world, but the world loved darkness rather than light. And you'll have to learn how to become keenly aware enough of those that are receptive to light. Don't cast your pearls before swine. I'm asking you today to go home and study. God, help me to know how to be used of you. And to be effective at it. Help me to know how to watch. and be keenly aware and sensitive enough to the Spirit that I can see those that are receptive to your light, to what you've done in my life, and help me to know that's the one. There's the one in that crowd that God's reaching out to, and He wants me to help them. You can make a difference. I'm not just telling you that. I'm telling you, I feel that. I felt this for the young people in the body of Christ for a long time. God wants to use you. I'm not just saying it. It's not just words for this meeting. I feel that in my Holy Ghost. God wants you to feel it, hear it, accept it, receive it, and let it work. Give over to it. This ain't me telling you. I'm just going to be bold enough to tell you, God's talking to you today. I know when God's using me and when He's not, and He's talking to you today. Finally, five, be a team player. I've already told you, Ephesians 4:16 tells you you're effective in the measure of the part of you being that particular member. You can only do what God's called you to do, and you're just a member in the body, and this body has to function together. You're connected to other members. Wherever you're at, you're connected. Listen, we got to get this jealousy, this fleshly bad spirit, this competition spirit, this fleshly thing, cut it out. Tell God, God, get this out of me. Help me get rid of this. Help me love my brother. Help me to see his part, his gift, his talent, and help me to work together with him without any schism. God, give us a healing from this fleshly thing that's took a hold of us. Let us love and edify and build up. You talk about work in peace. You talk about a hospital people could come to. Oh my God. God's getting ready to harvest this world. And He's calling you. He's calling me. But I'm fixing them. You know, I'm not. Y'all just going to have to put up with me a while longer because I'm not passing the torch yet. But I want to at least see you running. I want to see you coming. You're coming to get it. What do you say, young people? We've got a great calling. Let's get our blinders on. Let's focus on what our calling is. Let's step up and say, God, I will. Use me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. I'm here to answer the call. I'm not just going to be the called, but I'm going to be a part of the chosen. Did you know that when you tell God, I hear your call, and my answer is yes? You know what that makes you? Chosen. You know what happens when you just keep saying yes? Faithful. You know who are there with him when this whole thing wraps up? The called, chosen, and faithful. I'll see you there. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for $5,240. That pulled us through.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I want to thank the Lord so much for being here today. While Brother Smith was up talking, he was talking about being led by the Spirit, and I feel the Lord so strong right now to sing this song. You know, I want to have that in my life, to be led by God. And I was sitting here thinking how so often, you know, in order to do that, we have to humble ourselves before God. And I was thinking about, you know, the potter and the clay, where the Lord is the potter and we're the clay. And, you know, that clay just lays there. It doesn't stand up and transform itself on its own. It just lays there humbly. And it takes the Lord's hands to mold and shape us. And it's all because you're humble. And if you have that humble spirit, you can allow the Lord to work in you. And Brother Smith was talking about, you know, reading the scripture and really understanding what it is that you're reading. And this song, the Lord gave me 3 years ago, and I have not gotten to go on trips and be at any of the church meetings, and I'm so thankful to be here today to be able to share this with you all. But I was sitting at home reading my Bible, and all too often we rush through when we're reading. We know we need to read God's Word, but yet we just read it and really don't understand and grasp what we're reading. And I was sitting there reading the scripture, and I really got it. And most everybody in here have heard these verses before. I had. But I really read it. And when I did, I really understood it. And so I just wanted to read this to you all before the song. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all.
Thank you.
Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me.
Of your call to stand through it all.
today, though sometimes it's hard to see the plan you have for me. Your ways are not my own, they're higher than us all. And I thank you for the chance you've given to heed the call. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm not worthy of your love or the price you had to pay. I stumble and I fall. Down on my knees I pray. Make me worthy of
worthy of your call. Make me worthy of